you might have large launches that are completely new products, right? And it's going to require a ton of lift, right? From the enablement side, from creating new materials, from doing a lot of demand gen. But you also might have small launches, right? Which are, you know, you have an existing product and you're releasing a new feature or module. So one of the first things that we do is really for all the things that we launch, whether they're features or completely new products, is to really think like, where does this fall? Is it a large, medium, or small launch, right? And we've aligned as an organization in terms of what those mean or imply in terms of, you know, what are the bill of materials that we need to produce and how much enablement do we need to do and so on and so forth.
Hey, I'm Cody Bernard, and you're listening to Getting to Market, a show that gives you an inside look into what it takes to successfully launch a new product. In each episode, we'll chat with go-to-market leaders about how they go to market, covering the tools, tactics, and tricks that they use so you can take your own product launches to the next level. My guest today is Priyanka Srinivasan, head of go-to-market and product marketing at Gainsight. Today's episode is brought to you by theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. This is the product launch course for product marketers that need help transforming their launches into their CEO's favorite marketing weapon. It was created by my former colleague, Dan Murphy. Dan ran product marketing at Drift and is now running brand and product marketing at Privy. Over 150 product marketers have taken the course and learned Dan's proven launch framework. You can check out their reviews of the course at theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. Now, the course normally costs $99, but because you're a listener of Getting to Market, you can get it today for only $59. All you have to do is use a promo code GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Again, that code is GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Visit theproductlaunchmasterclass.com right now to get this course. So with that, let's get into today's interview. I'm here with Priyanka, head of product marketing at Gainsight. Priyanka, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Cody.
I'm really excited for this. I was actually recently reading a lot about Gainsight. I know, like we just mentioned prior to actually recording this episode, how I used to have it at a prior company, and you guys have had a ton of success over the last few years, specifically in the customer success space. Could you tell me a little bit more about yourself and Gainsight?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I'll start with Gainsight, which is that you're correct. We obviously create software for the customer success space, but what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, we were kind of the category creator in customer success, but we have a lot of products today that are also targeted at helping build better products, right? So for product leaders, helping revenue leaders, helping customer experience leaders. And it's all around kind of the idea of helping these folks retain their customers, build better products, and drive expansion. And these are obviously challenges that many recurring revenue businesses face. And so for me today, I lead product marketing for one of our core products, one of our fastest growing products that is actually built for product leaders. It's called PX, which is short for product experience. And it's product analytics and in-app engagement to help businesses drive product-led growth.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I actually led with customer success because exactly what we're going to talk about today is how you guys launched a product recently that focuses a lot about just revenue in general. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, you know, last year I launched a product called RO, which is short for revenue optimization. You can see we have these cute little names for our products. And so, you know, RO is a product that we built specifically for revenue leaders. So you can think of, you know, VPs of account management or CROs, or even quota carrying customer success leaders to help them identify renewal opportunities in their near-term book of business that are most in need of attention or that have the highest likelihood of expansion. And so if you think about it sort of at a high level, it really just helps revenue leaders figure out where they have to focus. And this is particularly important because when you think about the core pain point, which we all do as go-to-market and product marketing leaders, a lot of renewal leaders or revenue leaders have hundreds of renewals every quarter. And they need to know where to spend their time, right? Because they can't spend an equal amount of time on all the renewals. And they really want to find the ones that are most in need of their attention or the ones where they can eke out the most upsell or cross sell. And so that is what our RO product helps them do. It basically generates a prioritized list for their team every quarter based on some magical productized data science applied to their customer data. You know, we just added a new module actually called Expansion Center, which will help them identify accounts that are most likely to be good candidates for upsell as well. So we continue to add to it.
That's awesome. And I think like that's something that not a lot of companies actually focus on. Like I've heard so many times in my career how specifically like on the competitive side of product marketing, where people will position against us and say like, oh yeah, they're only going to talk to you at their renewal. And you have no idea what's going on with the account, which, I mean, if you think about it, that's the most important book of your entire business. It's not always about net new. It's about your existing customers and making sure that you can obviously retain them, but hopefully expand.
Totally. I mean, that is what Gainsight is all about. I think there's some like crazy statistic out there. I think there was something from McKinsey a few years ago that said, you know, 80% of your expansion, your existing revenue or new revenue will come from like 20% of your existing customers, right? So like, there's actually a lot to get out of your existing customers. And I think a lot of recurring revenue businesses understand that. And that's really why customer success has taken off.
For sure. So where did the idea for RO come from?
You know, it came from actually our existing customers. So, you know, I mentioned that it's a product for account managers or CROs, but actually our core persona that we sell our customer success product to today is, you know, obviously customer success leaders. And a lot of customer success leaders are also quota carrying, right? So they are not only responsible for driving customer outcomes, but they're also responsible for upsell or expansion within those customers. Not all customer success leaders are. So, I'll say even at Gainsight today, our customer success team is responsible only for driving customer outcomes, but we see a lot of teams out there that are structured differently. And one of the challenges or the pain points that we saw with these customers that we worked with, again, with our customer success product, is that they, you know, come renewal time, to your point, they would struggle with figuring out what renewals should I really be focusing on? You know, where are, you know, which customers are the ones that are sort of most at risk of churn of hundreds of my renewals this quarter? And which are the ones where I can, you know, I should be focusing on for expansion? So there was that piece of it that we saw a pain point there. And then I think what's really important for us is we felt we were uniquely positioned to really address this problem. And the reason that we felt we were uniquely positioned to address this problem is because, you know, our customer success platform obviously gathers all of these customer insights and really distills it. If you're familiar with our product, we have health scores, we have ways to orchestrate the customer journey. We have systems and tools for customer success managers to take action. And we have this kind of trove of data about the customer that could be then used to identify renewals that were at high risk or identify areas for expansion. And that's really something that we have that no one else did. So it was a combination of seeing the pain point in our existing customers and understanding that we were uniquely positioned to solve that pain point.
Were these personas somebody you guys actually targeted before, or was it something that they were always kind of involved, but they weren't necessarily part of like the sales process or who you were going after?
Yeah. So I'd say, you know, we sell our, you know, this product today to a lot of customer success leaders. And so that was a persona that we were really familiar with. But then obviously different organizations handle renewals in different ways. And I'd say a large majority of organizations have a separate renewals team or account management team or whatever you want to call it. And so that was a new persona for us, right? So, those folks think about their business a little bit differently. They have different pain points. And so in that case, it really was a new persona that we were working with that we really had to interview and get to know and understand, you know, how they think about their day-to-day.
Yeah, persona research is such a fun topic just because you learn so much. You learn obviously like what they care about and what makes them tick, but also if you really can show them the product, you can get like a ton of information about how they might potentially use that you can use in your launch process.
Totally.
So tell me a little bit how the launch process works at Gainsight. Once you guys said, okay, great, we're going to go target this persona with this pain and this solution, how do you guys actually initiate the go-to-market process?
Yeah. So I'll take a step back and say, you know, I think hopefully at all companies, right, like different launches can work differently depending on the size of the launch, right? So I'll give you an example. You might have large launches that are completely new products, right? And it's going to require a ton of lift, right? From the enablement side, from creating new materials, from doing a lot of demand gen. But you also might have small launches, right? Which are, you know, you have an existing product and you're releasing a new feature or module. So one of the first things that we do is really for all the things that we launch, whether they're features or completely new products, is to really think like, where does this fall? Is it a large, medium, or small launch, right? And we've aligned as an organization in terms of what those mean or imply in terms of, you know, what are the bill of materials that we need to produce and how much enablement do we need to do and so on and so forth. And so, you know, when it came to RO, you know, this was a large launch, right? This is a completely new product. And so we had already sort of aligned as an organization in terms of what that meant in terms of the bill of materials. And so for large launches like RO, you know, I have a list of items that I build out that are both internal assets for enabling the sales and demand gen teams, as well as, you know, external facing customer assets. So things like a discovery guide, demo recipes, objection handling, competitive guides, right? So, and you know, the list goes on. I always typically start with like a messaging guide, because I think that's the thing that actually you can get the most leverage out of. So if you create a really strong messaging guide for the product, and one that you understand will change over time as you learn and iterate, and we can talk about that, that can then be leveraged by the demand gen team. It can be leveraged by sales enablement. Anyone that's, you know, facing the customer or talking about the product. So that's the core thing that I focus on, but there's a whole list of items. And, you know, it's not, honestly, like, you know, I don't have a specific tool. I literally will do this out in a Google Doc where I have like a list of items and I check the box on those things. And so in that way, it's very sort of process oriented.
I'm the same way. I love a Google Sheet, and I've said that a million times in this podcast. I will use that over Asana. I'll use that over Trello. Yes, I've used those tools and they're very good. Don't get me wrong, but there's something about having a really good work back plan in a Gantt chart, or even just like a wiki doc, you know, that just has like all the bill of materials in there.
Yeah.
So what goes into your messaging framework that you just mentioned, messaging guide?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything like crazy or out of the ordinary. So it'll be, like a high level sort of 30,000 foot message. First of all, it'll be kind of the key personas that we're going after and descriptions of those individuals, what their pain points are. And then we'll dig into, you know, specifically the product and how it helps solve some of those pain points on a sort of feature by feature level. And then in addition to that, I usually put some high level stuff in there around competitive. So key competitors that you're probably likely to see and sort of the aligned on messaging that we want to have against those competitors. And then I'll usually point, just for the sake of sort of having things central, I'll usually point to like customer references or stories or a list of those in that doc as well. So it really can serve as like a one-stop shop. And, you know, I might also put links into a more detailed discovery guide or questionnaire or other assets that, you know, the sales and marketing team can use.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And I think to your point, it's like that one-stop shop that everybody can go to. So demand gen, product, obviously the rest of marketing, like customer marketing and everything like that, sales, everything. It just kind of houses all the information that I'm assuming that you guys get pre-launch. Like you guys do a lot of research and collect all that information for a reason so that you can fill that out to make sure that people have what they need to create the best type of assets and material for your go-to-market.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about the bill of materials. I know that's something that I've heard a lot with these launches. You guys have, like you mentioned, different types of launches, whether that's like a tiered launch approach or whatever. Do you guys have a set list of bill of materials, or does it depend on the actual launch?
We do have like a set list that we do for small, medium, and large launches, but I'll say that it can definitely change. I mean, it's subject to change. It always is subject to change kind of based on the product, right? And what you're working with in the strategy there. So I'd say it's more kind of guidelines more than anything else, but I think we sort of need those guidelines to keep ourselves, to sort of keep ourselves from going too crazy with creating a ton of stuff, but also to keep, I think, the rest of the organization aligned that, you know, not every single feature launch or functionality launch are we going to do a massive splash with. And I think that's actually probably one of the most important things, is to sort of set expectations for the rest of the organization. I think we probably all feel this way when you're leading go-to-market or you're in product marketing, that, you know, you're very bandwidth constrained. and so I find actually one of the most important things is to really set expectations around what will and what won't get done and why. I think the bill of materials is sort of just as much for me as I think it is for sort of the broader organization, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And it's something that you can always come back to in your weekly or biweekly syncs that you're having with other departments.
Totally.
So who actually do you work with throughout your launch process? I'm assuming the typical players, product, sales. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, probably with a brand new launch like RO, you know, I worked really closely with our lead product manager on that. And the reason is, you know, we were obviously betaing that product before we formally launched it. So we were getting a lot of feedback early on that we would then use not only to kind of
decide or prioritize what was going to go into the roadmap, but also figure out, you know, what is it from a messaging standpoint that we really wanted to highlight. And we're both learning, right, in that sort of space when we're betaing the product. But also, product is incredibly important and useful, obviously, in building out a lot of the materials that are more technical in nature. So you will definitely need product documentation, and you'll need objection handling from a technical perspective. You'll even need, you know, in early sales calls, even post-launch, for product to join a lot of times, not only from a learning perspective, but also to help answer technical questions that might come up that we're not yet fully enabled on, that I can then take and actually codify. So there's a lot of partnership with product. Obviously, you know, beyond that, there's a ton of partnership with marketing and demand gen. So, you know, obviously, you know, you want them to be able to have that messaging guide or doc so that they can, you know, generate a perspective on what kinds of webinars or email campaigns or social, you know, campaigns they want to do to promote the product. You know, what kind of website changes, right? So that's really important to obviously generate that top of funnel. And then obviously, you know, working really closely with sales, which is a, kind of a no-brainer. You have to do a lot of enablement, make sure people are comfortable speaking about the product. A lot of times, you know, getting in on early conversations and actually being like a SME, a subject matter expert, right, in early sales conversations. And so that's really important. And then obviously, you know, working with, depending on how your organization is structured, you know, working with customer marketing and others, because one of the most important things about a launch, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, is really post-launch is getting happy customers to advocate for you and getting those early customer stories. I think that's one of the most important things in my experience. And so working really closely with that team is really critical as well.
Yeah, I would love to go way deeper on that topic specifically in a little bit, because I think I haven't really been able to do that too much on the podcast yet. And it's something that if you can definitely shed some light on your post-launch activity, that would be awesome. And then to your point about working with product, I completely agree. I think shout out to the product managers out there who get heavily involved in the launch process, because I always leverage them on the sales enablement side too. Like if I need a second line of defense for something that's a little bit more technical than maybe my education level, it's massive, because they can come to the meeting, they can record a video, they can basically arm the sales team with that knowledge that's needed. And yes, be a SME on early calls. And then obviously kind of pass that duty off to the product marketer as, you know, the launch goes on.
Totally. I think we're all sort of learning together early on. And I think you're never going to know, you don't know what will come up as a technical objection or question. And so I think having a great product manager that understands that we're not going to get everything, we're not going to be able to check off all the boxes on the objections before, you know, we go to market, and that we're gonna have to learn together, and that, you know, there's a strong partnership where the product marketer will learn and codify that, I think is really critical.
For sure. And working with product, is that who you're most closely aligned with when it comes to setting launch goals? Or does that really depend on the type of launch and what the general outcome should be, whether that's more of like revenue or if it's more on like the adoption side? How does goal setting work at Gainsight?
It's super interesting. I mean, what I can say was for this launch, you know, our goals were very strongly on sort of like the demand on our lead generation and then, you know, close one revenue side. So we set really strong goals alongside sales in terms of the revenue that we wanted to generate every quarter. And that, you know, and it was actually less around product adoption, which is interesting, but I totally think it could and should be. And I think that, you know, sort of in the next rev, I would say that is critically important. I think that part of the reason that was the case for us is like, you know, Gainsight fundamentally is a little bit more of a sales and marketing led organization. And so the focus just gets a lot more on, you know, the playbook of generating leads and, you know, moving them through the sales funnel, you know, and nurturing them and closing them versus necessarily looking at the product adoption. I mean, I can dig into that a little bit more, but I think that's sort of the mentality of the organization. I think that's kind of flowed into this product. And I think different products, it makes sense to actually think about the metrics differently. If you have more of a product-led product where you just want to get people in it quickly and then you upsell them over time, then adoption is incredibly important as a metric, right? But I think if it's, you know, if you're working on these deals where they're like $100,000 plus deals and you sign 3-year contracts and that's it, you know, you're going to be a lot more focused on that lead generation and that close one revenue number, and maybe a little less worried on
the product adoption, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. It makes a ton of sense and hits close to home for me. I remember early on in my career at Drift, we were like right when I started in the transition of moving away from a free account motion of driving PQLs and moving into more of like, you know, an MQL type of motion and driving like actual opportunities for sales. And just setting KPIs was such a hard thing to do because we wanted to do both, but we needed to pick a lane. And I remember it was just like this massive, like, it just tore me apart trying to figure out which one to go with. But I mean, ultimately revenue is what's going to drive your business. So we obviously picked that path and so far it's worked out so well. But yeah, I think to your point, it just defining what the launch is going to be, and then you can kind of get a better understanding of what that KPI is going to be, your North Star metric.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your communication strategy. So we talked earlier about enablement and how product can play a role there. What did your internal communication look like to the team? How did you get everybody psyched up about this and get everybody rallied around this launch?
Yeah, you know, we have I think part of it is, you know, we have a few different channels for doing that internally against that. We have some really good plumbing around, you know, how we communicate updates or new launches or anything to the sales team. So we obviously have Slack channels. We have weekly sales scoop calls, what we call sales scoop calls, where the entire sales team is required to show up. We have, you know, regular quarterly trainings, right? So we have, and more, right? So we have, and you know, they have like weekly meetings as well. So there's a number of different avenues to think about it in terms of kind of getting the message out. And I think really it's, so from that perspective, I'm a little less worried about like finding an avenue and a little bit more concerned with making sure that we get the message out really early and do it in a way that's repetitive, right? So it's not just like a one and done thing. I think anyone that's ever been involved with sales enablement knows that it's not a one and done thing, that you have to continue to enable and you have to continue to kind of serve content and messaging a lot, right? For the sales team to really sort of absorb it. And so, you know, my philosophy in general is getting there early with the product and generating excitement and buzz, and then continuing to hit home on that messaging or that message for several months before the product launch itself. And then obviously, like, you know, post-launch, one of the really core things that we've seen, and I think everyone who works in a product or a sales and marketing led organization probably feels this way, is like, once you get those early wins with the product, you're always going to have some salespeople who are kind of early adopters of a new product that you're bringing to market and organization. And, you know, and once you get some of those early wins with those salespeople, you want them to talk about it themselves, right? So you don't necessarily want to be the one selling it. You can have them sort of advocate and sell for you. And so getting them on, you know, weekly calls or talking about it in Slack or whatever, I think is really a core part of the communication strategy as well.
For sure. So you said that you get them involved early on in the process, like potentially even months before a product launch. Is that like a set time frame or does it depend? Because I've struggled with, you know, end of month, end of quarter, and just trying to get their attention for a certain period of time. Where do you feel like you can draw a line in the sand to say like, hey, no, this is really important for you and you need to pay attention, versus something that they might just be like, ah, yeah, this is just something else that they're doing and trying to put on my plate?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think there's a hard and fast line. And frankly, I think it depends a lot on kind of where you are with the product and how clear your launch dates are and all that kind of stuff as well. Like I usually want to have a clearer sense of a launch date before I go and start talking about it. I want to have a clear sense of what the product does. I want to have some sense of the messaging, some sense of the persona. And so, and that can just differ based on, just, you know, based on how much research you've been able to do or how far you've been able to get, and so on. So, ideally I would shoot for a couple months and start, you know, generating buzz around it, but it really just depends on a lot of other factors.
Yeah, I agree. The only downside to that is like when they go and pitch the product and it's not ready yet. And then potentially the product gets pushed out a little bit because maybe the messaging isn't right. But no, I agree. I think the earlier you can kind of get everybody on the same page when it comes to messaging and actually speaking the same messaging is ideal, because even if they're pitching it early, that's fine as long as they are on message, because that's the hardest part, is trying to get them to change their
mind. And I think also, on message and also setting the right expectations, right? That, you know, maybe we don't have like a firm launch date, but it will be by this quarter or something like that, right? Or setting expectations around that, I think is really important.
For sure. So we touched on this a little bit throughout the entire podcast so far. Let's talk about post-launch. I would love to know what the post-launch strategy looks like for you specifically for that RO product, or just in Gainsight in general. What is your approach? Do you have like a set list of things that you guys do? And what does that look like?
Yeah, I don't actually like have a set list of things that I do, but I, you know, I try to be very involved in early customer conversations. And maybe that's just sort of more of a philosophy versus a checklist, but I get very excited about early conversations that we have. Usually I found that the sales team wants to bring in, product marketing or product into early calls because they may themselves not feel totally confident in the message or the pitch yet, which I think is understandable. And so I tend to sit on a lot of early calls. That's what I did for RO, and it's a great learning experience. I think that you should have to do it anyway, because you have to see how things are resonating. And I think it's directly impacting your job and your output in terms of the messaging. So I sit in on a lot of calls. If I can't sit in on calls, I listen to them in Gong. We have meetings with the sales team to kind of ask how things are going and, you know, hear about the objections that are coming up, right? So that we can kind of continue to massage the messaging. And it goes both ways. There could be some things in the messaging that don't resonate and some things that the sales team has tried or some things that they've noticed where they're like, hey, that actually really resonates. We should think about kind of codifying that into the messaging. And so I'll do that. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier, one of the core things is getting early customer references, early customer wins. This is really important when you're launching a new product because, you know, understandably, a lot of companies want to understand, okay, well, are other people seeing success with it? And so it's a really good reason to do a beta with, you know, 10 to 15 customers that are kind of friendly or, you know, good candidates or whatever. And you want to really double down on getting those stories. So I think that's, really critical. And then, I think it's important also to collect feedback to sort of help product figure out what to build next. What are the things that are coming back from like maybe a technical objection standpoint or otherwise, and looking at your TAM, you know, how big of an opportunity could that be if we develop something in that space? And you're learning about that kind of stuff too, at a high level that you can feedback to product.
Yeah, I think you touched on two things that are like super important. And one is like just getting stories. Actually, both are about getting stories. First was like, yes, I completely agree having a beta program where you can get social proof that you can use for launch for your existing customer base. But something that other people that I think haven't really paid a ton of attention to is those early wins, because you need to prove that it's actually something that people are willing to buy. And then turning those into stories that you can leverage to your sales team mostly, because then they actually have this proof that it does work and they're going to go and actually sell the product more or want to sell the product more.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So what would you say, looking back, was one of the biggest challenges that you had with this launch, specifically with RO?
You know, it's interesting. I think with RO, and it's probably like separate from, it's probably really specific to the situation, which is that like, honestly, we didn't have a separate sales quota for the product itself. And so it was kind of more of a question of incentives. And I think that actually created, it made it a lot harder, right? Because you really had to basically convince reps where they could sell many different products and they have only so much airtime with prospects and customers to pitch this product, right? And especially something that's new that they may not be comfortable with. And so I think one of the biggest challenges is that that made it be such that the onus was on, you know, product and product marketing to make the messaging as crisp as possible, to make it as easy a sale as possible, to make it a no-brainer for people to buy. And I think that was probably the biggest challenge. And one of the things that I look back and I think, wow, you know, it'd be amazing if we could have set maybe more specific quotas against it. But I think it's also hard because when you're launching a new product, you don't necessarily yet know how it might resonate in the market, right, as well. And so there's kind of a balance there that I can totally understand.
Yeah, the guessing game is really interesting when it comes to setting any sort of like revenue target or pipeline target with a new launch. Like you have an idea, but you don't necessarily know if that's going to actually be fulfilled or not.
Exactly.
So what is one thing that you would want people to take away from this conversation? One piece of advice for somebody who's going to be going through their next big launch?
You know, I think maybe taking a step back, I think when I think about go-to-market and product marketing, I always talk about this and I hope that it becomes true over time. I think in a lot of ways, it can feel very much like a playbook. I think the job can feel like a playbook. I think that can depend also on the type of business that you're in as well. It can even feel even more like a playbook that you're just kind of going through the motions of, you know, we talked about checklists or different things like that. And I would say that, you know, go-to-market and product marketing, I think can be so much more than a playbook. And it really can be very, very strategic.
And again, this depends on the type of business and the type of product you're selling. But I would try to look at launches as more of an art rather than necessarily a science where you're following a playbook. And I think that'll not only hopefully make your business more successful because you'll realize that like products are different or situations are different. It'll force you to think outside of the box, but it'll make the job more enjoyable, you know, because you're not just following a playbook. I talked to a lot of product marketers that just are bored in a lot of ways because they're just like, I do the same thing every quarter. I just follow a playbook. And I would encourage people to think about, you know, ways in which they can make the job more interesting by being strategic about launches and what is needed and what isn't, and maybe creative ways you can bring products to market. So I guess that's what I would say.
No, I love that. I think like, I completely agree on the strategic front. And I think you touched on it a little bit, but it's also making it just being more creative with your launches. Like there's always a hook and there's always an angle that you can find to elevate it to be something much bigger than what it actually possibly just could be if it was something more like, you know, just like an extension of your existing product or even just a feature that you're adding that's a checklist feature that somebody else has. You can always make it something more, something much bigger than it actually is.
Yeah.
Well, Priyanka, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I've learned a ton and I know a ton of people are going to get a really, really good amount of information from this. So I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you for having me, Cody. I loved joining the podcast and I'm excited about what you're doing here.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Getting to Market. If you like today's show, hit the subscribe button and tune in every Thursday to hear from more marketing pros on how they run their product launches. I'll see you on the next episode.